Let's take our declaration of understanding as we always do. One, two, let's go. Now I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's open our Bibles again today. You know, last time we began to study, or some a few meetings ago, our focus has been on how do we pray. I've talked about the fact that we write the script of our life. So let's just take a text of scriptures to start today, the book of Matthew chapter 5. Chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Or as it is recorded, as it is predetermined in heaven. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now this is the well-known Lord's Prayer. I've read this so as to lay emphasis today again on verse 10, in which it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now you notice what he said, "Our Father," this is a prayer. Now if you notice in verse 10, it was not as much, it doesn't sound exactly like a request, more like an order. I don't know whether you get my point. Did you notice that? "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth." It wasn't making a request. If you get to verse 11, it began to make a request. "Give us this day." I'm not saying it's not a request. I'm just saying it doesn't sound like one if you look at it very carefully. Yes. You're just making declarations. Now, basically now, what was it teaching us to do? And that's what I want us to understand in these teachings. What was it teaching us to do? It was telling us, say it the way you want it to be. Are you getting my point? What did I say?
Say it the way you want it to be.
"Your kingdom come." That's how I want it to be. "Your will be done on earth, in my life, around me, in my place of work, with my children, with my family, with things that I do, as you have predetermined in heaven." I need to emphasize to us again. As a young boy, everybody around me thought so. That what he was saying was, "Your will be done on earth as they are doing it in heaven, as it is in heaven." No. I don't know how many of you thought like that. That was what I thought. Oh, you thought like that too? Okay. But again, I grew up and realized that no, that's not what he said. What he said is, "Your will be done on earth as it is." That is, the way you've written it in heaven, the way heaven predetermined it, the way heaven wrote it down. Do you follow my point? So I ask you, how is it? That is, give me a picture of what is going on. Then you tell me. Do you follow? In heaven, how is your will? Well, concerning you and your wife, my will is that the two of you shall become one flesh. Do you get my point? That is my will. So I now turn around. In fact, somebody sent me, somebody shared on the platform where I am, he called it So, and it's a very beautiful one. I don't know where it came from. I don't know who wrote it. But this is the caption. Couples Daily Warfare Liturgy. You and your wife. It's a very nice one. It says step one. Join hands, face each other. And together you will declare this. We are one in Christ, joined by his covenant, sealed by his blood. No power shall divide us. No strange power shall touch us. It's a declaration. It's not really like I'm making a request. It's a declaration. You know what that is? That is how God said it in heaven. The two shall become one flesh. Whatever God has joined together, no power can put asunder. That's how it is in heaven. So when you say this, we are one in Christ, we are joined by his covenant, sealed by his blood, no power shall divide us, no strange fire shall touch us. I mean, that's how it is in heaven. And the person said, take one, now this is interesting. Said, take one step forward, as is both of you. And you declare again. You say, we walk as one, advancing in faith and destiny. Every delay is broken. Every resistance shattered. We advance together in Christ. Two cannot walk together except they are in agreement. Whatever the two of them shall agree, touching, you know, if two of them shall agree as touching anything. There are so many scriptures that show that's how it is, how? In heaven. In heaven doesn't mean when we die and go there. It means heaven has to come down onto earth. Remember, the plan of God is that the word becomes flesh. What did I say? The word becomes flesh. Everything that God has written concerning you has to become flesh in your life. Do you follow? And the first step is for you to say so. So that's why he said it like that. There will be done. You know, in the beginning, when God was creating, he did not beg anybody for light to come into existence. He didn't beg light. What did he do? He spoke light into existence. That is, his speaking it was what made... There was no light. I mean, let me use the word. He invented light, but that's utterance. So our job, one of the assignments we have, one of the descriptions of the people of God is prophets. Alright, the word prophets is used for anyone in covenant with God. Because they tend to go into the inner chambers of God, hear his will, they come out and declare it. And that is what is called prophesy. So that's why those who are walking with God are so called prophets. When they say, touch not my prophets, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Elijah was not one of them. Elijah was not what he was talking about. It was not Isaiah. It wasn't Jeremiah or Amos. It wasn't the pastor of a church. Sometimes we use it. I'm not saying this, we should start touching anointed men. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we used to show, you know, reverence preachers. It's not wrong. It's not bad. But that was not what he was talking about. When he said, touch not my anointed, you know he was referring to? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their descendants. They are the ones that he led about, and he suffered no one to do them harm. He protected them with the commandment, touch not my anointed. Do you get my point? So the job we have is to prophesy that which is written. Let me not forget this, because some people are noting it. It's very good. It's very good. I saw it, in fact. The fellow who shared it, I private chatted him. I said, oh boy, this is good. Good stuff. I have a friend, when you give him food, you eat, he said, this is the good stuff. Yeah, he said, this is the good stuff. He lives in America. So anytime he eats Nigerian food, he'll take a picture and send it. This is the good stuff. So when my friend shared this one, I said, this is the real stuff. He said, step three. With hands still joined, stretch them toward your home. So you take two of you, hold your hands, put the other one out. Remember, it's a drill. Now, please, this is what they call warfare. Yes, sir. Not fire, my enemy, thunder, hide, let the witch not see you, which is what we have been told now. Hide from the enemy. I say, me? Child of God? Ain't hiding from nobody. You know why? Because he prepares a table before me, behind my enemies. If my enemies find out, in the presence. This is what they call warfare. Warfare is establishing, it's not punching witches. Please stop using where you came from to develop the doctrine. The doctrine of God. Many churches in Nigeria, they grew up in maybe Jebu area where power day. That's why they start asking you, where's your placenta? Because in their place, you understand my point? They bury placenta. Ask me, where's my placenta? I will ask you, what do I want to do with it? Have you ever seen anybody discuss placenta in the Bible? In fact, the Bible doesn't even talk about it. The midwife didn't care about it. Once they cut your cord, they don't care about the placenta. Okay, if you are worried about placenta, what will you now say about those who are circumcised? Where is your foreskin? Because that one is the sign of covenant. God didn't care. It's placenta now he wants to be worried about. Tell your neighbor, easy. Yeah, tell your neighbor now, preach. Easy. This is warfare. Let me tell you what warfare is. Warfare is that God says one thing. The world wants you to do another thing. Warfare is that I will do the one that God said. Warfare is that the one that God commanded concerning my life is the one that will be effective. That's warfare. And number one way you do warfare is simple. Just the way it is written in heaven, be like that on the earth. It's simple. Where were we? Number three, right? Step three. Beautiful. I don't know who wrote this. I just stumbled into it. Somebody shared it. Say, with hands still joined, stretch them towards your home, your children. Stretch in that direction. And say, our home is holy. Our bed undefiled. Our children are consecrated to the Lord. No seduction, no intrusion, no defilement shall enter. That is the will of God concerning you. Is that not what Paul said? This is the will of God concerning you. Your sanctification. You just declare sanctification over your home. Hey. Step four. In fact, you can... There's one man here, I shall not mention his name. He said he wants to add his own to 10 steps. So he went to ChatGPT. I said, that's not a man of God. When he saw it, he said, no, I need to increase. Now ChatGPT begin telling him, the ocean shall not rise. I said, see what I told you now. Because the ChatGPT doesn't have inspiration. No. I tell Meta AI to help you write confession. He will start declaring, computer chips shall take over. We shall plant it in your right hand and your forehead. This is the mark of the technology beast. So there are four steps here, all right? And I agree with the man who went to AI to go and get his own extended, that you can extend it. It's a nice template, isn't it?
It is.
It is a beautiful template. Yes, you can extend it. But let's just stop with these people's own. Just whoever wrote it, God bless you where you are. I don't know you. And the person says, step four, lift joint hands upwards together and say, we rise in victory, fruitful in love, faithful in covenant, and forever established in Christ, in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Do you know, if it's all we did today, we just read this and we went home, are we not blessed already? Shouldn't we just share grace and go home? Everybody's quiet now. I should share it. Ah, okay. So, brethren, he says, no grace. This one. Have you not shared it, Felix? Huh? You shared only few persons. I put it on the platform now. This is good stuff. You understand my point? This is good stuff. You know, this is the good stuff. This is the real thing, the good stuff. This is the will of God. Hallelujah. Now, this is not to establish what is God's will. And with that prayer, when Jesus said, thy will be done, that's what it is. We are saying this is what God wants, and we declare it, be like that. This is what the Lord said in heaven. You know, when we talk about the will of God, like I say, if the will of God was done automatically, why is it a prayer matter? So for you to say, thy will be done. So when you go into prayer, Jesus said, pray like that. Thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. Please, I need to say this. I feel like I'm emphasizing it. Soak yourself in the word of God and put it on your lips. That word will become flesh. Please, let me put it this way. Don't soak yourself in your desires. Don't soak yourself in your desires. The problem is that it's taking space. And desires can change. Oh, desires change all the time. One of the methods, ways by which you can pray in faith is pray about things that can't change. Do you follow? Use your faith on that. The will of God does not change. Your desire can change. They can change. I gave the illustration once in a while about there was a car I used to see on the road. Beautiful car. You know, I loved it. You know, I like admiring cars. I used to do that a lot those days in Lagos. I can't even go into one of those bridges in the evening and stand there. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just watching cars pass on the bridge. Under the bridge, you know, on the road. I'm on the pedestrian footbridge. So there's this car I loved so much. And then one day I went for my convention. And one of my brothers, I just saw the car park. I said, who owns that car? It's one of our brothers. It was night. All right? So I said, go and call him for me. It's a junior person I could send for him. So he came. He says, sir, you sent for me? I said, yes. They said, this car is yours. He said, yes. I said, please, can I have a ride around in it? He said, no problem. So my wife and I were together. I said, baby, let's enter. We entered the car and he drove us around just for a minute or two. I said, wow, thank you very much. And we parked and we came down. Told my wife, nonsense car. This is a car. Yes. This is a car I had admired for months. Was a new model of one, but I won't tell you the brand because I've already told you it's nonsense. You know, so it told me like I used to sit around Enugu, beautiful. One of my senior guys bought it. We're hailing him. Simoto. So that was my first time of coming into it. The thing drove around. So it came down. I just told my wife, nonsense car. 5 minutes. No, it was 5 minutes. 2 minutes inside it. You know, okay, you want to know why I call it nonsense? I won't give you details. It was nice. Interior was beautiful. But when it went over rough areas, you go here, buguru, 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 buguru. The shock absorbing, then the dampness system was not, I used to drive German cars. Do you follow my point? Like all you hear is, you know, that kind of thing. And just then, now that's desire changed. Next day, so imagine I've been fasting and praying. Imagine I've been fasting and praying. I'll have to do an emergency call to heaven. Hello, hello, hello. Angel, have you left? Have you left? Have you left? He said, no. Prince of Persia. I said, thank the Prince of Persia for me. I'm telling you to thank the Prince of Persia and go back. Tell the Lord I said I changed my mind. So next time I pray about something like that, the angel said, when God said, go and give Banky. He will get to the boundary and say, Prince of Persia, see me. Come and hinder me. Prince of Persia said, I'm busy. He said, oh, okay. Can you send the Prince of Tarsus? Because he too is like, this Banky that's not serious. Do you follow my point? So when you want to pray, pray the will of God. That's what I'm saying. Soak yourself in God's will. Let me say this again. People say, be specific. I say, no, I disagree. From my own experience, I disagree. I keep on saying, the Joseph, you know, what was Joseph's plan? Now, please, just by a small aside, okay? We'll get back to our message in a moment. And God helping me, we'll do the main thing we want to do today. I've heard people say before, don't tell anybody your plans, your dreams. Joseph told his dreams, look at what he went through. I said, is that not a silly comparison? Joseph told his dreams. He went through a lot that took him to the dreams. Abi? He went through a lot. And what happened? It landed him in the fulfillment of the dream. So if we are to follow Jesus' example, oh boy, tell your dreams. All those enemies will help you get there quick. Because if his brothers did not conspire, he would have been king over cattle. So each brother will be giving him one cow every Christmas. Do you follow my point? I heard one man teach, and the moment he said it, I said, oh, this is beautiful. Instantly, it connected with me. Because as a little boy, when the father said, are you saying your father and your mother, me and your mother will bow down to you? Did they bow down to him? As a little boy, I read that thing. I knew it didn't make sense. God will not make your father bow down to you. Not a father of the covenant. Do you follow my point? A father who is in a covenant will bow to you. So it's a curse now. So this man was teaching. My first time I was seeing it. He said the sun and the moon were gods that they worshipped in Egypt. So that represented the Egyptians. So the Egyptians and his brethren bowed to him. His father and his mother. Of course, where was his mother?
I died long ago now.
And the father would, it's a curse now. For one, you don't bow to your children. A blessed man like Jacob?
No.
That man just brought it out. The moment he said, I said, wow, this is beautiful. So it fits. In Egypt, they worship the sun god. They worship the moon. So the moon and the sun, representing the worshippers, they bowed down to Joseph. Was it not fulfilled? People say, don't tell your dream. I said, Joseph did not even know it was a dream. It was a question he went to ask. Say, Chibeze, I dream. Say, what did you dream? I dreamt that all the monkeys in the bush were coming to my house to eat. What does it mean? He said, don't worry. God will bless you so much. All those who refuse to think will be begging you for food. They are busy, you know. Say, okay. He said, hey, are you calling us idiots? I didn't call you idiots. I just narrated what? My dream. They now beat you and throw you into the pit. From there, somebody passed and said, why did they put this man in the pit now? Okay, no, you are not the pit. He said, sit down there. Night came. You are crying. Then you opened your eyes at night. And you saw that all the stones inside the pit were glistening. They just threw you into a pit of diamonds. Can you see that? If you did not tell the dream, will you enter into that pit? Then finally, when you manage to go out, you quickly bury the whole pit. Then go and buy the land all around. And at night when nobody is there, you quickly scrape and bring out one stone. All the muggles, won't they come and be eating? People say, don't tell. I say, I'm not saying you should tell, but don't use Joseph as an example. Brethren, please, instead of learning all this secrecy thing, tell yourself something. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God said concerning Balaam, he said, Balaam came to curse you. I turned his curse to a blessing. And that's your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anybody whose mouth opens to speak evil against you, that their machination will produce good in your life.
Amen.
Say this after me. Say,
Thy will
be done in my life. Now, when you said that thing I just said is the will. Yeah, it's the will. He said, when Balaam came to curse you, what did I do? I turned it into a blessing. Please, don't be afraid. I've seen people teaching fear these days. Don't be afraid. Say, this person I wish, say, what concern you? It's not my business. Like I keep on saying, look, big men, they say, hey, a witch. I said, are you sleeping with a witch? No, I leave it now. Let me drop it again. Young ladies, they say, don't hang your underwear on the line. That somebody will carry it to go and do it. They say, carry it. You give me an excuse to pray for more. That's the smaller side. The Lord is good. Wait, please. Before we went into talking about Joseph. Yes. Yeah, I said, don't worry yourself about those details. Soak yourself in the word of God and pray the word of God. Do you follow my point? Anything you find in the word that is God's promise, for example, I shall not want. So declare it. I shall not want. Be done in my life as it is recorded in heaven. Do you follow my point? God is able to do much exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. So anything you think about, say, God can do more than this. Anything you think about, just know that God can do more than this. And please start thinking of, especially in the line of your, let's draw a smaller side. Don't waste your thoughts. Do you follow? Like now, me now, I'm primarily a preacher. You get my point? I teach and stuff like that. Why am I dreaming of distribution of petrol? Do you follow my point? Now, if God compels, it can happen. But if I have to be the one to generate it, I won't go in that direction. I won't. I'll go and study Kenneth Hagin and read my Bible Training Center. Do you follow my point? I told you the other day, Theodore Epp, by the time he died, I didn't even know that. I've been following, reading about him for some time. But recently, something made me go to check again. That's when I found out that, you know how many radio stations he was on by the time he died? 800. Obina, I like the way your mouth opened. May God do something in your life that will make people open mouth like that.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Yes, that's the kind of thing you should be. You know, kingdom word then, kingdom word. Sometimes I think, when people ask me, how are you guys doing? I know, you say, we cover 3/4 of Nigerian landmass with radio. We have 24 radio stations. We have one internet, 24 internet radio. You know, I'm feeling cool, you know. Once I got a testimony, Felix forwarded one to me a few days ago. My God, I was so blessed. I was so blessed. From East Africa. This brother shared how what he now does is that anything that happens, he said, what did Pastor Banky say? We'll go and investigate. He said that once met his vicar in church. Please, can I preach something? I want to teach the brethren. The man said, go ahead. He just took something I had preached. He went and taught everybody. I was so blessed. I was so blessed. Now, Theodore Epp. I mean, I was still feeling good, you know, 20-something radio stations feeling, feeling. When I had 800. No wonder the man said, I finished my course. I mean, because... 800. Let's talk about the reference. Now, please, I've not checked these facts again recent times, but I've listened to him a lot. But he'll tell you that in 4 different Chinese dialects, his message is being heard all over China. In 4 dialects. That those days, I don't know about how exactly it is now, but then, shortwave, they covered half of the globe. You know, I was talking about in Nigeria, half of the globe was listening, had his messages being played, broadcast to them every day. Half of the globe. He said he got to New Zealand. Was it either New Zealand or Australia? They told him to sign papers. What is it about? They were registering Derek Prince Ministries, New Zealand. He didn't know about it. You're welcome, sir. Okay, sir. Hey, we're trying to... please, can you just sign just to finalize the registration of what? Derek Prince Ministries, New Zealand. After that, he'll go home. How they run it doesn't concern him. They just take the messages. They put it on air. They pay. They do everything. So he said, what happened? People were now writing them. They didn't. So they had to set up an office. Towards the latter days, his last days on this earth, they were putting his biography together. All right? And he sat down in a restaurant in Jerusalem. And people who came to Jerusalem, to came on pilgrimage. Let's just use the word pilgrimage, all right? You know the one prayer they prayed? That, you know... People are saying, well, when I get there, I want to see the tomb of Jesus Christ. This one says, Father God, let us see the Red Prince. So one of them got hungry. I said, let's eat. So they entered the restaurant, sat down to eat. And what did they find out? That he was sitting with Stephen Mansfield, who was doing the biography, on the other end of the restaurant. They came in to eat. And they looked and said, God of me. Do you understand? They literally knelt down, started worshiping and thanking God. And here, Master, we're looking at what's happening over there. They now walked up. Sorry to interrupt. Hey, Derek, come. One of the people was named Derek after him. That we came into Ito, but before we came, we had prayed that we'll meet you. And there you are. Do you follow what I'm saying? So when you know that kind of direction in your life, that's the kind of thing you'll be dreaming of. Don't be dreaming foolish dreams. You go on YouTube, you say, man of God is arriving in a Rolls Royce. And you say, God, when my Rolls Royce will come? God will look at you and like, are you still this small in your mind? You know, there are things you pray about God, like, why is it an issue? So they said, dream. You close your eyes and you're dreaming. And it's car that comes, Rolls Royce. God will make an unbeliever dash you one. Then after one year of driving, you realize that that one and your Corolla, they felt, in fact, you're feeling more God. Because what God wants to enter that resort, he will withdraw his presence. So that you realize there's nothing inside. So when you want to invest your dream, that's what I'm saying. Invest your dream in good things. Dream about your children. You understand? Serious dream. I don't mean stupid dreams. Serious dreams. Stop dreaming that I'll be flying private jet and you're not going anywhere. You know, the Lord says something. Seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, it's the second side I want to emphasize. And what does he say? All other things will be added. See, stop dreaming of things that are meant to be added. Use your dream for serious matters. You know, Cosmas Madoka was here the other day, a few days ago, teaching. And there's something he said. It just hit me that he has 2,700 workers. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
How many?
2,700.
2,700. Yeah, that's a lot. Dangote has over 20,000. I don't know the exact number. But are you getting my point? So if you are a business person, that's the kind of dream you should be dreaming. That's the kind of dream. 2,700? And it's paying them. You know, some people say, all these rich men, what are they looking for? They are looking for more people to pay. But because you know you have been poor for a very long time, so you think, poverty can corrupt people's minds. You just be thinking foolishly, even God will be ashamed of you. That kind of thing. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good at all. So what are these looking for? If a man can have a house and have two cars and can't pay anybody, 2,000, just, you know, and he said it in passing. He was trying to make a point. He wasn't trying to say, look, I'm big. He just said, you know, I have 2,700 workers. But I tell them this. Let's not talk about what he said he tells his workers. Okay? 2,700. You're a business person. Your mind should go there. And you know what? If you dream and ask God for things like that, we'll not give you just, not much, just 27,000. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And because you said amen now, you're not making 50.
Amen.
Oh, is he saying amen? You see what I'm saying? You know why? Because it's the will of God. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above what you can ask or think about or imagine, dream of. I just said, use your dream for great things, for important. Don't let the world give you foolish dreams. Do you understand? Worldly dreams. Dreams that don't matter for eternity. No. Don't let the world give that to you. Reject it. Dreams of impact. Dreams of literally establishing kingdoms on the earth for the Lord Jesus Christ. Until he comes. Dream of occupying and having dominion till he comes. Now, so when he told us to pray, thy will be done. That's what we're talking about. He said, your will be done. That is, and let's not get back to it because I know what I want us to talk about today. All right. Good. We're there. Just turn it kind of, you know, the way we normally do here. So when you are praying, all right, we've talked about different kinds of prayers. Let's just, for the purpose of exercise, there are all kinds of prayers. There are different kinds. People classify different ways. Supplication is a kind of prayer. We are making requests for yourself, for somebody else. Intercession, you're specifically making requests for other people, especially against divine judgment and stuff like that. Okay? And the praise is a form of prayer, praise and thanksgiving. Now, this is my classification. Some people put it slightly differently. I call it prayers of worship. Praise, thanksgiving, even celebration. You understand? Just declaring things that God has done. They are all prayers of what? Worship. Now, in my own classification, some people classify it differently, but we're all saying the same thing. Prayer of consecration is a different one. And that is very important. Every day, consecrate yourself. As often as those things come to your mind, tell the Lord what you will do with your life. Tell him what you will do with your body. Say, put your body on his altar. Tell him what your eyes are for. Tell him what your hands are for. Tell him what your feet are for. Tell him what your mind is for. Do you get my point? Tell him that this body will be used as an instrument of what? Righteousness. You say it every day. One of the reasons why you have to do that every day is because the opposition does not stop. Do you get my point? They keep bringing temptations and trials. You keep responding in prayer to the Lord. This is what I have consecrated myself to. Do you understand? No, God really blessed me with those testing. Some of the testimonies I just mentioned now. I just told myself, I said, hey, Banky, you know, we are doing some things now. Me and these guys, this Pastor Banky in 10 things that we're talking, these 10-minute messages. I told them yesterday that I thought it would just be a few hundreds. I said, but the way we are going, you think we'll go plenty? For this time we are doing a series, I have another idea. I write it down. I have another idea. Now, so I now thought about it. I said, hey, wait. When I got that guy's testimony, I said, oh. If somebody that far away, and he stumbled into us by accident, it was not as if somebody, no, You know, you were just looking for something. And he saw one of the articles, one of the sermons that I wrote. So that's, he read it, he was blessed by it, so he looked for more. And that's it. He got hooked. All right? So I was just thinking, I said, if somebody can be this blessed by this thing, that means this is where we should put our energy. I'm talking to myself now. That's where I should put what? Energy. The other things I've done in this life, good, I'm not saying bad things, like teaching, you know, and all of that. And I don't get this kind of level of testimony. Do you follow? So it would be foolish on my part to spend energy there. You know, you can't be the best in everything in this life. Just choose where you are going to excel. But, remember the one testimony I gave some time ago when my mom and I were gisting? And she said that, I used to have this private practice, you know, I'm a pathologist, so do some consulting and all of that. I said, oh, no, I've closed it down. She said, why? I said, ministry is growing. These are the early days in Enugu. I said, ministry is growing, so I need a lot of time. I said, because I teach in university, I really don't have as much time. You know, and that thing, there used to be pressure because people who come with their samples and all of that, the reason why they came to a private setup is because they want rapid. So if I travel there, there's some elderly prof is late now. If my phone is buzzing. So that's when my mom and I were not just in that time. And I said, it's your private practice. I said, I've shut it down. She said, why? I said, because it's taking a lot of time, putting a lot of pressure on me, and I don't have a lot of time. So I said, ministry is growing. I have ministry work to do, so I have to spend a lot of time on it. She now said, but ministry is not paying you. Very sensible argument, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, as ministry is growing, so is family growing. Do you get what I'm saying? But ministry is not paying you. And by that time, I think, my wife had resigned the job she was doing. All right, she used to work in the bank, and we had agreed that once this boy starts growing, somebody has to look after him. So she had resigned her job then. She said, but ministry is not paying you. Is the answer I gave. You know, you look back and say, that was inspiration. And I said, so what are we going to do? I said, but this is why God gave us life. And I said, this is my mother I was talking to. I said, this is why God allowed, exact words. I said, this is why God allowed you to conceive me and give birth to me. I said, this is why I did not die at birth. I said, whether it pays or doesn't pay, we must do it. Sometimes, now see, I was discussing my wife a few days ago. It doesn't pay like that. And let me tell you something. If you're a preacher, just listen. They will come and show you how to make it pay. Don't follow them. Only follow those who will show you how to make it. I want to speak on those, my funny English that I invent. Just follow those who will help you to have it do. Nope, there's pay, there's do. Those who will help you have it properly done. Follow those ones. Those who will help you make it pay, don't follow them. Trust the Lord to make it pay. You don't try. I'm talking to those who are in ministry. I keep on saying this. A lot of our senior ministers have been blessed financially tremendously. Are you getting my point? Yeah, if you talk of people like Papa Adeboye, you know, Bishop David Oyedepo, you know, all these big men, Bishop Oyedepo, I don't think you can find him dead in a commercial plane, even when he's going abroad. And it's not a bad thing. I have people who are not even preachers, not in Nigeria, brethren, friends, and we chatted a few days ago. I said, he doesn't have time. It's the headache of commercial flight is too much for him. So anytime he's moving around, he charters a plane. And he's not even a preacher. So please don't join those who are saying, why should these pastors fly private jet? It's not, let me put it like this. It's a good thing. Let me tell you, private is better than public.
Yes,
sir. Yes. Maybe you can't afford it. I hope you all know your private car is somebody's breakthrough. So please don't join those who criticize and accuse and, you understand? Once it's not me that you say should bring the money. Because I'm not going to give you the money with which I'm buying fuel. My private car to fuel your private jet. Not because it is bad, but because it's going to be inconsequential. It's not even one of the two drops. I mean, like, not even, it can't fuel you. If I fill my tank, it can't fly you for 5 minutes. Do you get my point? The money that will fill my tank. By the time your pilot do zoom, 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 and takes off with that plane, all the fuel don't finish. Do you follow what I'm saying? But those who are fueling it, they have the money. May the Lord bless them. I will never join. Okay, let me tell you one of the reasons why I would even join them. Because if I join those who are criticizing now, if one day God has a kibanki, this is how you'll be moving about that, and I won't be able to preach again. They will now say, look at what he said those days. They put it on YouTube. I've used it to abuse me. I have prepared for whatever God may want to do in my life in future by being humble today. Do you follow my point? But so, now, why I'm saying all of this is I'm not saying this to criticize anybody. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying this to criticize anybody. Okay? However, young preachers, that's not a goal. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
It is not what? A goal. Your goal should be, if you want to compare yourself with people, if you want to look at them as like a kind of aspiration, is okay, if they are going to inspire you in a direction, look at the work they are doing. Let's take somebody like Bishop David Oyedepo now. Don't worry about the clothes he wears, the plane he flies or does not fly. Look at the church. Look at the thousands of pastors that have been trained by him. Look at the books he has written. Look at the multitudes that have been blessed by the ministry. Do you follow my point? Yes. Then the other area that God has used him. I mean, he has one of the best universities in... Go and check the NUC rating all the time. A school that has existed for just a few years keeps staying in the top single digits of the best universities in Nigeria. One day, one of my junior doctors went there, sent me, she called me day from there, said, sir, I'm not sure we're in Nigeria. Say, look at me extracting DNA. The former head of NUC, I don't know whether it's a former, still the head of Nigeria Universities Commission. I saw him talking. He said, Covenant University has been a blessing to him personally. Do you know why? That helps him do his work easier. He said sometimes in the Senate, the House of Assembly, you know, both House of Reps and House of Reps and Senate, the legislative houses, he has to defend some things about private universities. He said he always holds Covenant up as defense. That look at Covenant now, what are you people saying? When they see, they back down. These are the kind of things you should look at. Do you follow my point? Forget the car he's driving, forget the plane he's flying. It was his birthday the other day, people were dropping Rolls Royces. What else would they buy for him now? And I can assure you, if I know him very well, he's not driving them. He waits for a few weeks, he will choose who and who he will give what and what to, because he doesn't need it. The man that flies a helicopter from... Do you follow my point? He's going to the airport. He will call Uber. Now, that's not even necessary for him anymore. Well, it will soon stop being necessary. Do you know why? For the first time, Nigeria gave a private license to an individual, the company, corporate organizations have it, all these, all common, they did have it. But now, and the private individual, to have an airstrip in front of his house. They were angry with Festus. See, there are ministers in Nigeria you can be angry with. Festus is not one of them. Do you follow my point? He's doing his work, and he doesn't care about you. He was making trouble before he graduated from school. The guy's making trouble. If you want to make trouble for him, he doesn't concern him. So, you see, where I'm going is that, but that's not what we are focusing on. Is that what we're focusing on?
Yes.
You're looking at the impact that people are making. You know why I say this? I don't know the house Paul lived in, you know. I don't know the quality of cars. Horses, chariots and stuff that Paul rode. It doesn't concern me. What matters to me is the book of Romans. Is the book of Ephesians. Is the letter to the Galatians, the two letters to the Corinthians. Do you follow my point? All those small letters he wrote to a friend, Philemon, to his little boys, Timothy, Titus, people in the Colossian church, what's going on there? Take this letter. When you finish reading this letter, send it to the other churches. People have argued up and down whether he's the one that wrote the book of Hebrews. I kind of think he did. Let's just give it to him for the purpose of our discussion today. The book of Hebrews. So by the time you compiled it, half of your New Testament is complete. So like I was saying, so if you have to use your dreams, that's what I'm saying. Don't let the world, don't distract yourself with things that don't matter. A lot of young pastors, they're the ones I'm talking to. They've looked at these things as if it's a mark of, I've made it in ministry. Like when men of God park, me too, I park a big car. It doesn't mean anything. You can park a big car, have no anointing. Do you follow my point? It's anointing you should be concerned about. Which, and what's anointing? It's not the fell under the power. That doesn't mean anything. You know what I found out? Many people that fall under the power, you know what they also do? They still rise up after and go back to their problems, their iniquity and all of that. It's lives being changed, lives being transformed. That should be what you use your imagination for. So if you have to follow somebody, that's the point I'm making. Follow the things that do what? That matter. I told you before, when I saw how God used a little note I wrote, because fire was in my bones, I wanted to just express myself. I wrote a number of pages of paper and sent to my wife to be. Then when we got married, I took my paper back and we printed it as a book, Choices Key to Destiny. When I saw what God has used that book to do, I said, now, you can't give me $1 billion not to write it. I wrote that before I got married. I just sat there in my house. I just had the understanding. I just had writing. I wasn't trying to write a book. I was just trying to write. Yes, just express myself. But now, tens and tens of thousands of copies have been printed and shared out to schools to teach young people. Please, that's what you use your imagination for. So that when God goes beyond that, do you follow my point? He does something that lasts for generations. If Jesus does not come back, the Lord is good. So when we're writing, and when we're praying, please, let's get back to it. Hi, God helping me. I'm trying to sit on what we're saying. So there are two things. Last time we wanted to do this, but we didn't get to it. So let's now get to this. Why was I stuck on that particular verse? Your will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. What I'm saying that when you are praying for yourself, that's the area we're talking about. You're praying for your household. Write a script for your life. That's what God is saying. There are things. And how do you write a script? Copy. You know, God is an unusual examiner. What did I say? He will teach you. You understand? By himself, train you very well, and he'll allow you to do expo. You know what they call expo? Yeah. If you want to copy. In fact, the only thing we're telling you the answer. Why people fail God's exams is stubbornness. Because every time you're writing God's exams, God allows everybody to talk to you. So when you want to, in quote, cheat now, so to speak, in the Lord's exam, just know who you are copying. I've been in exams where people want to do malpractice. I still remember. We're writing an exam. It was mathematics. Our external examiner stepped out. And if you later wanted to help, he said, question, just take question 3. E. People were copying it again. Question 4. D. You know what I was doing? I was looking at my script and laughing at them. Half of what he called were wrong. I didn't need you to help me. You need my help. We were doing mathematics. He used to teach us, economics. No, what happened was that he went to my friend. There, this guy who was my class, very good friends, an engineer today. He went to, we used to do quiz competitions. Do you follow? So our quiz competitions, this is how it was. We're 4, all right, who represent my school. 2 of us will do science. 1 person will focus on social sciences. Another person will focus on arts and current affairs. All right? That's the way it was. So they split into 2-2. Me and my friend did the science. So we did the maths, physics, chemistry, and stuff like that. So that was the person he went to. He just got his book and copied. I came to call for some people to hear. I just looked at him. I said, hey. And when we finished the exam, we met my guy. Come. So you know the way boys behave. We sat together and went through it. And he got only 25 out of 50. I don't know what happened to him that day. I'm like, what's wrong with you? You know, we're the math boys now. So, when we finished, 50, we went through one by one. No, that cannot be this. It's supposed to be Y over X. No, you're supposed to multiply the D before you do that. Okay, we'll get the mark. After the exam, we have the paper now. When we counted, he got only 25 out of 50. Now, let me explain. This guy, it was just his bad day. When he did jump, well, it's a long story. When he did jump the following, he did jump a number of times for certain reasons. I won't talk about it now. You know what he used to get in jumping mats? Consistently 100. He was that good. I think there was a jump he came out of. He got maths, 100. Physics, either 99 or 100. He was just that good. So that day was a bad day for him. So you don't blame the teacher that went to him to go and be checking. He was that good. Me and him were on the same, you know, we used to be on the same team. Okay? We did the maths and physics and chemistry and all of that. And he's the one that we used to know how to jump, used to score. You know why? He didn't used to finish it. He'll do the one he can and get up and leave. But check his result. 100. He don't say that. The guy had no problem. He consistently got 100. That's a small aside. So it was the person my guy went to. I don't know what happened. It was just his bad day. We sat at the end and we showed him, me and the other guys. We said, oh boy, what's happening to you? He said, this one, you picked what? E? Why? We sit together. He said, he doesn't know what happened. That was the person the teacher went to copy from. But because the rest of us we came to the exam to do our exam. We didn't want anybody helping us in anything. So as he was calling, I was checking whether he was right or wrong. So when he called, hey, this one, I said, okay. So I remember he called 4, he got 2 wrong. And I laughed. I said, there are people who go do things right now, who have counseled, thinking that in God's exams, it's like that too. You are writing divine exam, you know what the Lord is doing? He's allowing everybody to talk to you. He's who you will listen to. Holy Spirit is talking. People of the world are also talking. Temptations will come. The world will say, it is your opportunity. This is how to make it in life. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Holy Spirit just whisper to you, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Holy Spirit will just tell you, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? That's Holy Spirit for you. But the rest of the world, so what you need when God is examining you is, who do you listen to? Because, see, Satan, it's a job God has given him. You know, God invites Satan to invigilate sometimes. As an examiner, do you know? You are not aware? Is it not in the Bible? What happened to Job? Who invited Satan for the examination? Have you considered my servant Job? God invited Satan for that external, you know, he was doing his PhD. That was the external exam. Satan was the external examiner in Job's PhD. What am I trying to say? So when the exam time, God allows Satan to tempt you. Allows the world to tempt you. But he allows the voice of the Holy Spirit to also remain there. Your real test is who you will listen to. That's your real test. Who are you listening to? That's the real test. Your real test is who you will listen to. That's what I mean when I say God, it's an unusual examiner. He allows you. But if you listen to the Holy Spirit, your answer is always, it's straightforward. You're hungry? Turn these stones to bread. Holy Spirit will let you know what is written. Your job is just echo what is written. Are you getting my point? Now, let me just drop this again. Christians, be careful you don't use your mouth to talk about how you feel unless you are releasing it to God in confession and cry for help. Do you follow my point? See, in this life, forget how you feel. What did I say?
In this life, forget how you feel.
When you must respond, respond as it is written. Turn these stones to bread. This is Nigeria. If you don't turn these stones to bread now, you can die of hunger. Brethren, that's how you feel. And please feel like that. But when you have to respond, what do you say? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which you... See, if you say that, they will take it away. Let them take it away. This is your opportunity now. They say, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which you... How will your children go to school later? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God shall man live. Now, what that means, please, let me explain it again. It means that the results in life are not necessarily from things that you have. That anything that money can do, the word of God can do it. Anything that food can do, the word of God can do it. What was Jesus saying? Anything that food can do for me, obedience to the word will do it for me. That's what that means. I pray you understand. Always answer situations with what is written, not with how you feel. Now listen to what I'm saying. Even if you feel like that too, your feeling is not allowed to dictate your beliefs. What did I say? Yeah, no, they are not. It's not allowed. Let me explain this again. One problem they have in the world today, all right, all over the world, especially Western world. You know, I saw something the other day. One man was. He said 10 countries where he was trying to explain something. He now mentioned one particular question in one particular country. That can you? It's an American doing a show, you know, like a documentary. He said, can you believe in that country? They still expect women to be virgins, and men to be virgins until they are married. Now, it's the way he said that's my problem. Like, it's still expected. Do you know what? I stopped the video and deleted. Do you get my point? I don't want to watch again. It was the way he said it, like, in this generation, and he's listening at one of those countries where odd things happen, and that's the odd thing happening in the country. It was an Asian country. He mentioned one of the Asian countries. You know why people talk like that? They talk about how they feel. The argument for... Feeling will run you mental. Now listen, if you follow your feeling, you will go crazy eventually. It's a matter of time. It can be 5 years, it can be 20 years, but craze, thou shalt craze. Yeah. What Satan does is that just tell you, see, you're a man, right? I don't even know. Okay, you feel like a woman, don't you? So you are transgender. You are transgender. Thank God for Donald Trump, who said in America there are two genders. Male and female, and it cannot be changed. We don't recognize the mutability of it. It's immutable. Once you have been declared female, female thou art, to female thou shall return, no matter where you went. Now, but what people should have known, even Christians, because I've seen, there's a guy, when we're young, we used to worship with his song. You know when I say worship? Worship. See, when you play, everybody's in tears. Your hands are up. Then a few years ago, that's much years later, which is a few years ago, he came out. You know what it means to come out? You know what it means to come out? You know what it means to come out? Please, Elder John, tell them what it means to come out. Eh? Oh, I'm asking the wrong question. What's wrong with me? Sorry. Yeah. He answered correctly. Wonders shall never end, amen? What did he say? And you say answer correctly. You say, tell Reverend. What? See, Reverend, you can warn yourself. How is that correct? Eh? That's not correct. It's not correct. What does come out mean? Okay, you are close, yeah. What they used to call come out that time is to come out as homosexual. That is no longer, and he was married with kids. Oh yeah, was married. It wasn't a small, but I'm telling you, somebody used to lead worship. That you are singing his song. I'm not kidding. As young men, tears will be in your eyes. Then he said that he's tired of living a lie, kinikon, that is actually homosexual. So he divorced his wife and married his boyfriend or something like that. And they had kids. Nothing less than a number of kids. Anything between 2 and 4. See, let me tell you something. There's a difference between hypocrisy and holding on to the word of God. What it says is that be true to yourself. Please, don't ever be true to yourself. Be true to God. Yourself, this self that is you, it can be confused. What it should have said is that even when he's having the feeling, that's where I'm going. Let the feeling stay for 10 years. You stay for 12 years. The feeling will stay for, because this world is a war of attrition. Who will get tired first? I'm telling you, even if you are dying, believe in divine health. Yeah. Believe in good things. And what do I call good? The word of God. Don't ever be true to yourself. Be true to the word of God. There are people who have sat down, even Christian, they claim to be Christian. They will give you arguments to support the fact that you should have more than one wife. I said, there are people I don't argue with anymore. I don't have your time. Because this life, for me, I just feel like some things are too important. I have other things to do. Let me tell you something about marriage. It's a good thing, amen? With all the goodness in marriage, Paul considered it a distraction. Why would I not get up today now and be saying I want two marriages? See, all the blessings in marriage is contained in one. And once you pass one, it's one too many. Once you reach two. There was one joker the other day, he says he's a doctor. You know, see, let me tell you something, what they call medicine. I thank God I'm trained. I went to medical school. I wasn't a bad student. In fact, I think I was good. All right? the Lord is good. And tonight I still read that. But there's nothing you want to tell me that will alter some things I've learned from Scripture. There's not. Do the research. Let it be blatant in front of me. If you oppose the word of God, you're on your own. And part of my reason is because I've seen this research. I've seen me manipulate. They change. Okay, how many steps do you need to take in a day to be healthy? Just tell me. How many steps? You know, they have this step counter. 10,000. Okay, Reverend, your case is 10,000. Who has something else to say? Okay, let's not waste time. I'm watching my time. Yes, 10,000 is what is said commonly. It's 10,000 steps. If you can take 10,000 steps a day, you will not die. You will live forever. Your grandchildren will live forever. You know, all this kind of thing. The latest, you know, I keep on reporting. Okay, I keep reading these things. That's why I keep reporting to you guys. The latest publication I read, all right, from it now. Do you know what they found out? After they did all the, they collated everything. They say, don't mind them. That 7,000 is where the benefit maxes out. That 10,000 was written to sell step counters. Look, if you think business and politics is not the medicine, forget it. Like this LGBT thing they do. That's one place where psychiatry, psychology, and all of that, politics is heavy there. They write what is normal. Now, do you know if you don't believe in sex, if you don't believe in sex outside marriage, the code right now is that you're abnormal. They have a name for you. They have a name that, and that's how it starts. In the next 20 years, you'll be labeled as a psychiatric problem. I'm telling you reality. My brother was in school in the U.S., one of those high-class schools. Went to do a postgraduate program. He said that he didn't used to go for their parties. They had to check on him whether he was depressed. You don't get my point. Okay, this evening we are meeting. Boys and girls are hanging out. They are going to do, you know, party. He now, being a good Christian bro, is in his house to listen to message, to make phone calls, to do his work. First Friday, he did not go. Saturday, he did not go. Maybe on Sunday, he go church. After a while, they went to check whether he's committing suicide. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
They stylishly had a counselor talk to him whether he's any problem. Because can he find handsome guy, you know? I know some of these crazy girls, they want to taste an African man. And the guy said, I'm made of thorns, so are they injured? They were checking whether he was okay. Do you know, when I was younger, I didn't know what persecution is. Now I understand. See, let me just tell you. Before you start running up and saying, I'm looking for a friend, wait to check the future. Before, right now, they're stylishly codifying normalcy according to scripture as abnormal. This one is a joke. Even though it really happened, which is funny. That's what I'm telling you. I've made my point. My friend was a pastor. He's a pastor in Enugu now, but he was a missionary somewhere in Africa. So one day, one man called him and said, is there a problem? He said, which one is problem? That I should talk to him. That if this thing is not working, he knows how to solve it. That he has some arrangements he can make, so everything. The guy looking at him like, what do you mean there's a problem? He said, no, pastor. No, he's not angry. Just nothing. He just I noticed that every time he comes here, okay, you're alone. That is the sin. Women full ground. Nobody they enter your house, they come out Nicodemus. Okay, even if it's Nicodemus, entry. I will do like I not see. But pastor, I've been watching. I don't see them come. Oh, how do you? If I tell you more stories about the guy, it was a problem. That is the pressure. He's preaching. Just preaching. Just by the way, even church people, is now we see a bomb air. See some girls they enter plane, you know where? He told me this years ago. Say church, in church girls not the way. He said, and they'll be dancing the way. He said, he go carry a lady. He said, oh, this really happened here. But yours is funny. That one day, he actually locked himself in his room because of three church girls. He locked himself so that nobody's coming to this house. They knocked the window, knocked the door, and not the house. This world wants to make you look abnormal for obeying God. They want to make you like the crazy, crazy person. There are people who still think JK has gone mad that he went to get married. Jonathan, you don't know that some people think JK has gone mad. Right now, okay, today is Tuesday. On Friday evening, some of his colleagues, his friends, family, they'll be in beer parlor. Say, nah, that boy don't crazy. They are just analyzing him. Then the guy just said, go and get married. I can't. He never built a house. Brethren, like I said, forget how you feel. What did I say?
Forget how you feel.
Don't be true to yourself. Be true to the word of God. If you feel homosexual, when they say what, well, he said, it's an abomination. You are feeling so. Don't come out. Stay inside. You know what they come out? That come out we're talking about. Say, you have to come out of the closet. He said, no. This old man belongs in the closet. May he die in the closet. Only that which agrees to God. See, they say it's I was saying that hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is not when you are doing something that you don't really think is right. Hypocrisy is when you are doing what is against what God says and you are pretending like you are doing what God says. That's hypocrisy. Do you follow my point? If you feel like marrying six wives, and when they say, what do you think of monogamy? Say, for this culture, the man leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and whatever and the two that God has joined together, let know, I say, it's true that, meanwhile, your body, what are you feeling like? Six. Don't ever be true to that self. It's Satan. It is Satan. Satan, it's not self, actually, it's Satan. You want to be true to a demon. You want to be true to a tempting evil spirit. Let me tell you how to live your life as a Christian. Stop agreeing with yourself. Agree with the word of God. When people are discussing, no matter how reasonable they are, when they are finished talking, just say, you know, God said that he has come again. Say, yes, I have come again. Say, and you know I will come again. If you guys bring discussion tomorrow, I will come a third time. So just, if you don't want this man, I don't come again, don't invite me to this discussion. What many of them don't know is that you are feeling like they are feeling. You understand my point? But you are true to the word of God. Don't be true to yourself. You know why? Because the word will become flesh. Eventually, the word will become what? Flesh. The word will take over your feeling. And that's what God is doing in your life. After a while, you're no longer telling us what the word says. You're telling us how you feel. Except that that's exactly what the word says. That is you. Your will has now been consumed by the will of God. So you start feeling what God feels. And that word will remain ever your yardstick. A time comes, you don't know whether it is God that is speaking or is your will that is your desire that is speaking. But your own yardstick is that this is what God is saying. Because you will so agree with God. Let's continue. So how do we pray for ourselves? We write scripts. What did I say? We write scripts. And that's what that scripture says. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What has God said? Like I said last time that what I wanted us to go on to, let's just take two of them. Everybody has a ministry. Everybody has an assignment from God. What are you going to do? What's your life? Like I was saying earlier, when God is testing you, when life comes with temptations, God allows it. The Holy Spirit is there talking to you. Well, God allows Satan also. He likes the world.
talk to you also.
Let me say something about knowing, making the right decisions when the time comes. Because it will come once in a while, you will get to a crossroads once in a while. All right? You always get to a crossroads in which you have to turn left or right. God can speak to you, my son, turn left. God can speak to you, my son, turn right. But that's not what he wants. What he wants to do is to train you so well that when you get to that crossroads, based on what he has taught you, you will just look. This is a narrow road. It leads to a life. This is a broad road. It leads to destruction. Nobody needs to tell you. It will enter the narrow. Why? Because enter by the narrow gate. That commandment is already there. Small aside, when you see everybody doing something, be suspicious. I like one thing. What's his name? Is it Guys or Guys Baba? What's his name? Guys Baba. He said, I go narrow. They think I know no road. That's one of the best rhymes of 2025. Or which year did you sing it? That's 2024. You hear him say that? He said, I go narrow. They think I know no road. That's so true. Everybody's going on a broad road. Just know that they are most likely wrong. When I say investment, multiply your money in 1 week. You see the shop, everybody's full. Don't need to, you don't need to, just go. This is how you will not have money. Say, I don't need this kind of money. What is wrong with it? Everybody's there. That's all you need. A lot of times. And what I'm trying to say, so this crossroads, you'll get there once in a while. What God wants to do is to train you ahead of time. Do you know when you've been trained, you will make the right decision. Like I keep saying, when you're walking by faith, it's other people that think you're walking by faith. To you, you are being reasonable. Is that what I said? You are being reasonable because your frame of reference, the things you are using to make up your mind, they are so logical. Sometimes when I say the way people make some decisions, I'm like, why? And okay, I don't, let me not use the word, I don't love money the way they do. I don't have respect for accumulated wealth the way they do. I don't know where I get my point. If you have 200 billion naira saved up somewhere, I even have enough understanding of life to know that you can be broke in 1 year. After all, that amount of money, where are you going to keep it? In your house? Keep it in your house. That's where thieves will break in and steal it. Or fire will catch and burn it. Okay, I won't keep my house. I keep it in the bank. You know, that's the easiest way to lose money. One bank will just collapse your money. I'll invest in the stock market. Have you ever heard of stock market crash? I'll put in cryptocurrency. I didn't say anything. I only laughed too. Just experience it lets me know that the money can vanish. And the scripture lets me know it can fly away. What am I going to say? So making decisions sometimes, if you go this way, you get is it not money? What if you... Do you follow my point? So you make decisions based on what God has been training you with. Many people want to be trained with nothing, then get there and not close the eye. Heavenly Father God, do I choose left and right? That's not how God leads. How does he lead? It starts from the beginning. Judas is gone. We got to replace him. So, what's his name? Peter gets up and gives us criteria. Pick one of the men, yes. Okay, how many men do we have? Like 60? Okay, all those who, they have to be with us from the beginning, from the time of John. How many remain? 12? All right, good. They have to have been there at the time of crucifixion. How many remain? 4. And they have to have seen him after resurrection. How many remain? 2. Okay, dear Lord, so we have 2 people here. One is called Joseph and the other is called Matthias. Which one? But the rest of us, you know what we like to do? Bring all the 120 in the upper room and say, hey, Heavenly Father, which one have you chosen? He called up, be praying. Any vision? Yes, I see vision. There's 6 people who come with visions in which each person saw 6 people. So 36 options, of which none of them is correct. They'll be praying for this. God say, why do you have to pray for this? You should have wisdom. Eh? Wisdom will help you narrow this 120 to 2. And now just pray a general prayer and toss your coin. Because any one of them will have worked. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? We must be trained to understand the will of God. Now, back to what I was saying. We all have an assignment in life. What did I say? We must do our assignment in life. We must do. You must do the reason God gave you life. And when you are going to pray, these are the things you do. You have to write a script concerning that. You are not sent to this life to come and make it. Whatever make it means. What does it mean to make itself? Okay. Elder John says to hammer. Now, to me, you see, I said, what does it do make it? You give me three different words that are more confusing than make it. One said to hammer. And that one said to blow. Somebody said to arrive. Arrive where you go, my brother. Arrive where? This life actually is not defined by what you achieve materially. Amen? Amen? Facts. We don't need to argue about that or try to explain it. The Lord said it. It doesn't consist the abundance of things which a man possesses. But whatever God has commanded you will do, you what? Must do. And listen, everybody has an assignment like that. Will you know it? Of course, God will lead you into it. But where I'm going is that you don't have to need know it before you start praying, before you start writing the script. No. No. And let me say something again. It's not everything you can think of ahead. I keep on saying, using biblical examples. Joseph could not have thought of Egypt. It wasn't possible. David could not have thought of the throne. If you have asked David, what will you want God to do for you? Only two things will have come to his mind. Waxing his own album, being on Spotify, streaming on... do you follow my point? Yeah, but you get my point. He was a very skilled poet, songwriter, and very good with the instrument. That's where his dream would have gone. Now, because of family responsibilities, he would have probably wanted to be a successful farmer. I don't know how well musicians did those days, artists. I don't know how well they did. So probably he would have wanted to be a successful farmer. That's all he would have wanted. Because as a little boy, there were no kings. And when the first king was chosen, maybe when he was already a little boy, he would have expected the children of that. Because, the first king was from Benjamin. He was from the tribe of Judah. They don't dream of being a king. No. But at the end of the day, what did God make him? The king in Israel. The man after his heart. So, brethren, you can't think of everything. Especially if you are young. Listen, if I forget whether you are young, even if you are old. Where God will take you to in life, you don't know. Do you get my point? You don't know. However, you can write a script. You know, that's what we're talking about. I said something at the beginning. You don't write a script in fine details. You write a script based on the thing that is revealed. The thing that the fine details are usually not revealed, and the Lord doesn't expect to write fine script about that. It's beyond you. Do you follow my point? So concerning your life, you have an assignment when you go to pray. Brethren, you must pray this prayer as a consecration every day. You write a script for your life with scripture. Not with common sense, but with what? So let's read. This is how you write your script. Just from what I've said now, somebody open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 for me. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to read a number of them. Let's just start with Jeremiah chapter 1. Now, let's all read this together. Let's start from 4 and read to 7. Now, I don't have time to explain this, but just know, this is what the Spirit is saying. This word applies to every one of God's children. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I didn't get that amen well. Now, let me say it again. Thus says the Lord. This word applies to every one of God's children.
Amen.
And you see the word in a moment. Let's read this together. From verse 4 to verse 7. Which version are we reading? NASB? NIV? Okay, everybody wants NASB. Okay. I know why you want NASB. You already opened it. All right, 1-2, let's go. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Amen?
Amen.
Now this is God's word. For every one of his children, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Now he says, everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now this is how you write the script. Now bear in mind, we'll write the script in a moment. Let's open again to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I'm trying to establish something here. This is what you use to write the script. Let me read this before there's something else I want to explain again. Okay, let me just say it. Brethren, when you want to make decisions in life, bear this thing in mind. See, let me tell you something. Doing the will of God, now, what I think from experience, all right, is that just thinking the right thoughts is like 75% of getting it right. Now, that's a rough estimate. What do I mean? Let's just take an example now, all right? JK wants to marry. And he goes to meet, what is your wife's name again? Favor. And he goes to meet Favor. You know, ever since that deal, you know what happened to them? They followed each other to the kingdom world. They didn't know they were coming here. And that's how it all started. Yes. God, literal ordering of steps. She was walking in front. This guy was follow. Come on, now you are going to follow. The Lord is good. This guy said, man, I don't enter for Pastor Han. He says it's a good ender. All right, so when he asks, all right, there are many things a young woman could think of, right? All kinds of things. Where is he from? How much money does he have? Or this kind of, does he have? What's my future going to be like? They are not bad thoughts, really. But they are somewhere between level 2 and level 3. We have 3 levels. Level 1, level 2, level 3. That's it. They're not bad thoughts. You know, when I asked my wife to marry me as an example, she said she just felt that my life is going to be boring. She didn't know when she had agreed to marry me. We should not realize, trouble. Now she realized that I'm a fun guy, I'm a cool guy. You know, on her birthday, when the DJ was saying which, you know, church song they go pray, I said, wait. Israel now said, Pastor said he must play Koloba. The guy said, wow. You know, like, he was like, Pastor said that. Yeah, Pastor said so. You know what's Koloba? You don't know. Yeah, you know, you're in deeper life game. You will not know. The Lord is good. Now, she actually felt so. Well, her reason was that I used to say things like, I was living in Lagos. She was living in Benin. And then my wife likes to play, you know, go to places. Till now, I hate the idea of going to places. The place I like most in this life is my house. And it, specifically, my room. How did you know? I've said it before. Okay. And in that room, specifically, my corner of the bed. It has wires. My computer is connected there, you know, like, and that. Even if my wife is not around, that's the only place I can. I can't be sleeping on the other side. The other side feels so alien. So I now went and said, that why do people go to the beach? Do they have work? She's looking at me. I'm in Benin. I'm looking forward to coming to Lagos so I can go to the beach. This young man that wants to marry me is asking me why people go to the beach. Are they jobless? And you don't blame me. I've gone a few times. But one day I told you, I got there. My friend who came to carry me, they went to put leg in water. Me, I looked for a place that shaded. I brought out my new American standard Bible. I sat down and I was shading it. When they finished, they came back, we entered the car and left. And believe me, I had fun under my shade. Do you follow? Yeah. This is where I'm going. So you can think of all of those things. But most importantly, that somebody should think about, in the midst of this, will I be miserable? Will I have a good life? Will I have plenty of money? Will he take care? You know, some people are telling, they want to marry a man that knows how to take care of them. That's foolishness, really. absolute foolishness. You can't start with that. I'm not saying the husband shouldn't take care of you, but that's not the first thing. Now, what is right thought as a Christian? Yeah, we're talking about you. Yes. Yeah. What's the first thing she should think of? It's simple, brethren, listen to this. The first thought should be, is this the man God said I should run with? Did you get my point?
Yes, sir.
That's the thought. You should know that God has made a choice before I came on the scene. Before he came to ask me, God had, listen, not as if he would. You know, you don't go to God with a man, good morning, sir. Like you go to your earthly father. Your earthly father wants to know, what kind of person is he? God is not like that. God is like, is he the one I chose or is he not the one? That, see, every other thing is the way by which we arrive at that. If you will just pray sincerely. Now, see, a sincere prayer is, Lord, though, is he a good man? Does that sound good or bad? No, honestly, is he good or bad? It's a good prayer. Will he be able to take care of me and my children? Is that a good or bad prayer? It's not really a bad prayer. I hope we're going to have a good family, a happy family. Let me tell you, those things you are just asking about, are activated by faith. Young woman, let me tell you, maybe it's one banker that hates to go to the beach that you want to marry, you like to play. No problem. If God finally says you are marrying him through many ways, it's no problem. You go to the Lord and say, Lord, I like to play. Put a play spirit inside him. Let me give you an example. Some people think I like to throw parties and do stuff like that. I wasn't like that when I was younger. I studied scripture to the extent I realized that God commanded that we should celebrate. Yeah. In fact, one day I threw a surprise birthday party for my wife early in the morning. It was a small gathering in the morning. So one of our sisters said, say, Pastor, now you're a Yoruba man now. I was offended. Why was I offended? It's a lie. You didn't know me when I was young. I hated the idea of parties. Yeah. But I studied scripture and discovered that, sitting down and always planning your money is not the will of God. I've told you. Go and read your scriptures. God said every year for Israel, 10% of the earning for the year must be used to party. Pastors don't like to teach that side when they are teaching tithing. Yeah. But if you read the scriptures, you know, sometimes, that's why tithing, you don't believe it. I said, look, if you want to follow scripture well, not this one you are doing. Israel, that God gave a commandment, he said you will take 10%, you will come to the presence of the Lord and eat and drink. And if your name is Aliko Dangote, you're in trouble. Because if in a year they paid you $800 million from one of your businesses as dividends, God said you will take $80 million and you have 1 week. $80 million. See problem. 1 week. You know why you do that kind of thing? All the headsmen in Middle Belt, they have to come. As when you hear that Solomon, go and read the story of Solomon. No, Solomon will do it for you. You finish the whole one. They will be slaughtering cattle morning. Of course, do I need to tell you that you won't even care who is eating the food? You just go there, just share it out to like 20 different organizers and you walk away. You just go to your own tent and be eating your own steak. Right? Everybody is just partying. They are singing. They are rejoicing. They are eating. And God said, nobody is going to farm in the whole of the nation. Everybody has come to party. Those are the things I discovered. And I said, no, brethren, if God blesses you. I remember when my little boy was born, Akindu. I told the Lord, when my wife is done, this is what we are going to do. For the level of money I had that time, it wasn't much. I dedicated it a certain sum. I said, this is what we are going to use to do Thanksgiving. No, Thanksgiving was not church Thanksgiving. That's a different matter. I will cook food in my house. I will play music. People will come. When we chop finish, I asked her, how much do you spend? She told me. I wrote the balance. I'd gone to church giving offering. And I wrote the balance as a check. Next service, I went and I said, look, we didn't finish eating it. Here's the rest. Because I was determined that we must chop. Bought some drinks, some people didn't show up. I carried it to go and meet them, gave it to them. Me and I seen a drink. I asked my wife, how much is everything? She told me, ah, I said, eh? So all this party, this is the money. I wrote the balance as a check. Next Sunday, offering time, I dropped it inside. I told the Lord, we didn't finish the money, so that's the rest. Well, I can't eat it. Where am I going? The primary thing in your heart to be, is he good or a bad man? Do you follow? Is that what? Is this the person God ordained? Now every other thing is how we discover it. Because God actually ordains. He does. He does. It's not who you like or you don't like. Sometimes when I see people teaching Christian marriage, I'm not like to talk. People like say, you they overdo. So this is what saying. They are secondary. He said, check, you know, the most stupid human thing I've heard in Christianity is when people talk about sexual compatibility. God punish you. Amen. You are an evil spirit. Away with you, to hell with you. Put such nonsense doctrine to the Church of Christ. The heavens once more compatible, we agree. There's color compatibility. For example, if you wear blue, I wear black, it's not compatible. That's a foolish joke, you understand my point? But then we'll just look at it and say, go away. But you can't bring iniquity into this. You know, this world is trying to, let me not teach that one. Let me sit on my message. Eh? Too busy. I should sit on my message, Abby. I should, eh? I'm happy you agree with me. And then I'll carry us go somewhere else. God has an ordination. Now, just for you to think, that's what I'm saying. Just the thought process, just to think it, you've done more than half. Just think it. That Lord, you know, Jake, you know the way we pray that prayer that time. I know I was there when you were praying. My spirit was with you. I said, Lord, I have favor with you. Hallelujah. Lord, I have favor. Lord, I have favor. If you have favor with the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Well, at the end of the day, you know, he's like, God, is she the one he chose? Yeah, you know, one of the ways you know the one he chose, okay? Is how, I mean, you like the person. There are many ways. This is one of the ways. I'm not saying he never uses that. But the woman said something. He said, that Jacob liked Rachel. God chose Leah. Have you heard that one before? You've heard it? I said, what? I never heard that one till that time. I mean, okay. I'm persuaded that Jacob liked Rachel, but God chose Leah. I said, how do you know? He said, it was Leah that gave birth to Jesus Christ, not Rachel. I said, wow. And if you knew that was where the law was going, it made a lot of sense. He said, yeah. He said, Leah was the one that Jesus came from, not from Rachel. I heard somebody teach on it. I said, wow, that's a new one. Never heard that before. Well, let's not stick on that. Let's not get dogmatic. But what I'm going to say is that it's not what you like that's primary. Is who the Lord ordained. How do you know? How you know is a different question. But you're more than half of the way there, just thinking it. It's not, I've made up my mind. It's like, God, this is what I would like to do. Then you submit it to him. Is this what you have planned? There are many of us who have chosen careers that God is laughing. God is laughing. You've made up your mind how you are going to, God say, it's not the way. It's not the way. There are those who God has called to ministry, but the only that can make you to say that all the ministries he knew were either you're an evangelist or a pastor. But the way God now led him, do you know? That's teaching and being a prophet and running ministry the way he did. It was never a plan that he had. When I was on campus, when I was thinking first of all that I'm going to go to ministry and all of that, I was going to pastor a church, and the name of the church was going to be Jesus Assembly. That was the plan. was going to pastor a church, and the name of the church was going to be Jesus Assembly. God never, that is, he didn't plan it like that. Why did I think like that? That was what people around were doing. So, when I'm saying this, what I'm saying, okay, is that just thinking about it is more than half of getting it right. You can like something today, God takes it away from you tomorrow. The like, the idea, the thought, God just removes it from you. I like to give the testimony of Derek Prince in his second marriage. You know, his first wife passed on. His first marriage was a very unusual marriage. Let's not even talk about it. The second one is the one that he saw in a, now listen to this, in a vision. The woman he was going to marry, his second wife, Ruth. The first woman was Lydia. And the woman requested to talk to him. So he was in his room where he was when she came in to see him. And he said in prayers, like, he didn't know her. Now, this was his words. I don't even like her. Not as if I dislike her, but there's no attraction. Just one sister where I meet. No, no. He said, but then in the vision, he has seen a picture of her. I think it was a dream or something. Then when she came to see him, he was wearing the dress, all right, that he had seen, that he saw. And then she had a problem with her back. So instead of sitting on a chair, she requested whether she could sit on the floor. He said, okay, no problem. Go to the floor and sit. So she went to a part of his room where he was and sat on the floor. He wanted to lean her back straight against the wall. So she sat according to him. So he turned to, you know, he was sitting on the table. He turned to look at her where she sat. And once he just saw her, it was the exact picture he had seen before. He said at that point in time, it was as if somebody took a jar of love and poured it on him. That he entered into him, and suddenly he said the love for the woman just entered him. It was an instant there. Do you follow? You can read the story in his books. See, these things we talk about, they are real. Like I was saying, please, a lot of people, these manifestations will not come. Go, because you've come with your own idea. Lord, this is my life. Where now who will take care of me? Now it matter. And that thing is so stuck in your head, God has left you alone. That is, the thing is just in your head. And so, I still remember one sister, very, very useless thing she did. And you think it's a joke. One brother came and preached to us on campus on marriage and all of that. She now said to her friend, and brethren, please don't joke. There are things you don't joke with. I joke a lot, but I'm careful not to joke about some things. She said, oh, that one that Reverend Susan said is his own. Me, I am going to find myself a tall, dark, and handsome man to marry. Please, don't joke. Don't crack some joke. It's not funny. You won't say that. God can say his own. Me, I no go grill. It's not funny. No, to me, it's not funny. God said what? I believe that thing. I can disagree with you that God didn't say it. Are you getting my point? But we can't joke that even if God said it, I won't do it. You've heard me crack jokes for years. Go and check when I said it. That kind of thing. If it mistakenly comes out of my mouth, I'll quickly retract it. Because sometimes the multitude of words, you can talk nonsense. But as soon as I will retract it on the spot. What I've learned to say is, my brother, that one hard though. God get to supply grace. So I say that's a joke. If that's what he wants us to do, I beg God, abundant grace. So. No, be normal level grace. So. Extra grace. So. Like I keep saying, joke about things that if they were to be taken literally, at least you would like the fulfillment of it. See, me, go where? He, go all the way to the bush in the Congo. Now, wow. About God, if you want us to go that kind of place, so you go double the grace. So. The one we're using in Enugu, not duo. Do you get my point? We sound like a joke. But some people say, go Congo, lie, lie. Ah, say, why go? They say, may I go Congo, when Europe did there. If God wants to go, he will go by himself. Oh. You know, Christians, and it's not funny. Oh. What to just say, it's that kind of thing. If the Lord said, I should go to that kind of place, so inside the bush where they are fighting, M23, I will ask him to give him bulletproof. Oh, that I will go, but the angels that will follow me, they must be visible. See the way we are going about it? We are laughing. You just laughed. We are laughing. But we can't take him for granted. He said, brethren, when I'm going, I'm not going alone. You will escort me. We joke about it. I will take all your numbers. You'll be praying for me. See, it's a joke. We are laughing. But we cannot oppose him for any reason because we are joking. No, we can't. Like I tell my wife, I say, jokingly do the right thing. Like I tell you women, don't jokingly slap your husband on the head in public. It's not funny. Jokingly kneel down. Okay, you don't come. I didn't hear. Oh, yeah. It's a joke. Bro, it's a joke. Is it not a joke? Tell your friends, can't be a seed, don't come. Igwe, it's a joke. It's not a joke. I bet let me greet my Igwe Joe, then you kneel down. And I say, is that your husband? Hey, I was just joking. You foolishly push his head. Say, I was just joking. If God gives you median nerve palsy, and next time, you won't know why your hand is always paining. You go to hospital, you say neuritis. You say, I don't know why my hand is always, it feels numb. Because I told one angel to hold that hand for me. That foolish hand. Tell a favor. That by next week, I want to hear the name she wants to be calling you. And there's no Carl Louis inside. There's no Job inside. And I don't want to hear JK. It's Steve that calls you JK. We are the ones that call you JK. She'll find a name that shows that she's been listening to the word of God. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Don't call your husband old boy. Are you getting my point? Yes. Papa Fred is not bad though. But I don't think they call Abraham Papa Isaac. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What am I saying? First of all, when you're writing the script about your life, because everybody has an assignment. Each person does. You will write a script. Say, Lord. And you want to pray in the morning. No? You're on your knees. Lord, I thank you. Because before I was born, you knew me. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, you ordained me for a particular purpose. Everywhere you said I will go, there I will go. Whatever you say I should do is what I will do. And you are speaking to the Lord and you are speaking to yourself. And you end with, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. Let's read some more. We'll keep coming back, so... I said you should go somewhere, right? Have you read it? Okay, Galatians chapter 1. Quickly, let's read it. Let's start from verse 13 just to get a context. And we're going to read all the way to verse 16. Then we'll now focus on the verse that we need for writing the script of our lives. All right, 1-2, let's go. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and I tried to destroy it. And how I was advancing Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. 15, read it confidently. But when God, who has set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Let me stop here. Or let's stop reading here. But notice verse 15. He said, God, who has set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Did you notice that?
Yes, sir.
Everybody say after me, God has set me.
God has set me.
No, that's God has set me apart.
God has set me apart.
Even from my mother's womb.
Even from my mother.
Say it again. God has set me apart.
Even from my mother's womb.
He set me for a particular purpose. Say,
he called me through his grace.
Say it, he called me through his grace.
He has anointed me
and ordained me
for a particular purpose.
See, this is how you write the script of your life regularly. You know, all of us will go up and down to go and, you know, let me tell you something here. Motivational speech is good. Please, just make sure you are being motivated in the right direction. Bishop Oyedepo used to say, What's the use of speed if you're on the wrong road? He said, it only takes you further away from your destination. If where I'm supposed to go is Port Harcourt, I face a Bakiliki. You say, this your car is not fast enough. You remove my old VW B2 and you give me a 2024, what do you call it, Ferrari. After 30 minutes of fast running, I will get to Abakiliki, which is further from Port Harcourt than Enugu. If I continue running, I probably eventually get to, is it not Ikorekwene? Anyway, I'll just keep getting further and further away from where I was supposed to go to. So when you are being motivated, please, before you go for motivation, say, Lord, which direction am I supposed to go? Do you follow my point? It is very important. And how do you do that? You write a script for your life. You write. Can you see what I'm saying? You write a script for your life. Open again, Psalm 139. We'll read this and then we'll stop reading so we can go home. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
We're reading from 13. Let's just stop in 16. 13 to 16. All right? Everybody, I want you to read like you are writing a script. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
And I want to let's go. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Let's just read one more. Psalm 40, quickly. Now, these are the scriptures I have used again and again, both to arrange my life and to teach the scriptures to the people of God to know how to follow God's will for their lives. It was after I left university that I realized that before I felt anointed to preach, the fire had begun to burn in me to teach the word of God. That was the reason why I wanted to go into ministry. Well, after I left school, I realized that was not the issue. That you're not going to the ministry just because you are anointed. Yes, you are anointed because you are supposed to go. It was after I left university that I sat down around 93 or so that one man came to preach. And he preached a message called Year by Year. And he explained to me. That's why it's a lot of temptations people are falling for. All right? Had never been serious with me. I can't remember having ever had the temptation to go and look for money first before I start ministry. I've never, get my point. The temptations have come. Do you follow my point? But I can't remember being about to fall into it and I was delivered. Those ideas never came to my mind. I was ready. When I went to start residency in Lagos, I told everybody, 2 years I'm leaving the place. That I was going to travel to somewhere in the Middle Belt and start a church called Jesus Assembly, the one I was telling you about. God had to wrestle me and say, stay here until you are ready to go to Enugu. Enugu was not on my agenda. Who knew it was Enugu? I couldn't even spell Enugu correctly. That's a joke. But why? That's what I'm talking about. What was my issue? Why did it was not? Because that man taught us that day. Listen, maybe he scared me a bit. I don't know. But he explained that, what's his name? Malon and Shilon. What's the name of their father? Was it Elimelech? Elimelech, that God was looking for priests and prophets in Israel. They went to look for food in Moab. He says, so Elimelech died. Mahlon died. And Shilon died. Oh boy, you hear that kind of message? If you not fear, you not fear God. The message was titled Year by Year. He said, I've not verified that. But around the same time, because if you read the Bible well, right, Judges, a lot of stories, you think they're after that, they actually happen side by side because in different parts of the nation. He said at that time also, God was looking for a replacement for Eli. So he seized one woman, Elkanah's wife. What's her name? Hannah. And Hannah was trying to have children like everybody else. And God said, you are not serious. And the Lord squeezed her until she uttered, give me a son and I will give him back to you. God said, ah, finally. And he gave her Samuel. And the name was, I asked him of the Lord. 3 years, maybe many of you don't understand. You take a 3-year-old. It was a sacrifice. It wasn't boarding house. It was a sacrifice. If you look at it well, the only thing she did not do was put a knife to his throat. She gave him, said, this is a boy. Eli looked like, what am I supposed to do with him? That's your problem, sir. You are the priest of God. 3 years old. Mama, you've not children past the age of 3. You take your boy at the age of 3. Your only son. You drop him in the temple and you see him again next year. That's what that man preached to us that day. So that I've told him the story before. When he finished, begin to pray. Holy Spirit said, shut up. Sit down. I just sat. But that was sank into me. As I'm telling you, after that day, I couldn't be tempted with anything. Say, Naira is falling, Naira is falling. Naira, if you fall, I'm not going to follow you to Moab. Say, you fall now, I'm alive, Abi. When I go Moab, I'm not sure I'm going to come back. Everybody has his own life. I've told you what Banky's life is. You couldn't abuse Nigeria enough to drive me. You don't understand. I'm thinking of what, sometimes people don't know what is pursuing you. They don't know what is pursuing you. They think that what is worrying them is what is worrying you. No. Somebody told me, if you go to Moab, you won't come back alive. I'm telling you what I got from that message. He said, better carry your black face, crawl into the temple and say, Eli, my name is Samuel. I'm telling you. I said, look, I still remember that message. I used to have the notes. I kept the notes I wrote that message in for years. So when people say, hey, country, when I was living in Lagos, hey, look at the way he's talking. It's because he has not gotten visa here. I said, you guys don't understand. You're talking about Moab. I'm not talking about visa here. I'm talking, when you're talking like this, what I'm seeing is Elimelech and Moab. What I'm seeing is Marlon and Chilion. I don't have, that's what I'm seeing. So you want to tempt me? You can't. You can't tempt me. It wasn't possible. It's been years now. I didn't do that message around 93. I'm not very sure of the year now, but around that period. No, it's been a long time. 93 to today is 32 years. I've been in Enugu now for over 25. Is that okay? But now, I understand. At least to a large extent. Maybe not the full extent of what God was planning. I've told you the story many times. God killed the fear of, some people say that, like, you know, our man was preaching the other day, they say, what's your allergy? He said, poverty. Listen, I am not allergic to poverty. You know what I hate? That God said, go this way, and I went another way. I'm not allergic to that. I'm afraid of that. What I hate is that this life will come to an end, and the Lord will say, I gave you one talent. How many do you have to return? And he cannot say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm allergic to that. I told the brother, I shared the testimony. It excited me. I forwarded to my wife. I said, see, we didn't come to Enugu for nothing. He sent his testimony all the way from Kenya. What's his testimony? In case you are listening to this, you really blessed me with that testimony. It was when I said, she said, greet Akinlu. Of course, it was spelled to Lugwenga, but I didn't know Lugwenga. It was calling everybody. He said, please, and people whose names I did not call. He said, I now have hunger for the word. He said, these are men that I now know. I now listen to Derek Prince, David Paul. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
I said, the Lord, thank you. I sat down, I read the testimony in detail, and I put my hand to the ground. I said, Lord, thank you. You don't push me to a Moab for anything. No. Anyway, that one has passed, by the grace of God. The time when I told the Lord, I'm not afraid to be poor. At all. Did you read this one? Huh? Okay, let's just read it. Let's go. Okay, you know what? Let's do something. Let's just give the Lord thanks. With this, then when you come next time, remind me. Oh yeah, Mama. Everybody, stretch your hands towards her and bless her with safe delivery. Oh yeah, do that before we pray. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, your daughter will deliver safely. Her baby will be well. She will be well. Open your Bible to Isaiah 66, verse 9, and read it for her. Quickly. Read it to the Lord on her behalf. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. Let me get my own scriptures. Quickly, are you there?
Yes, sir.
1, 2, let's go. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord. That's all I wanted to read. Read it again. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord. Now say to the Lord, give her delivery. Save delivery. Like the Hebrew woman. As it is written, your will be done in her life. Say, safety is her portion. Everything will go smoothly. Dear Father, enter into that labor and bring forth this baby by yourself, healthy, mother healthy, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy. Let your mercy speak against any negative thing. Now give the Lord thanks for her. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Give the Lord thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Take a moment, write a script for your life. Say, Lord, your will, I will do. Based on what we read from Psalm 139, say, all the days of my life I shall fulfill in the name of Jesus. The will of God be done. 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 In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Let's rise to our feet and share the grace. I want to let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Quickly bless two people beside you. Demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. The second person. All right, one for yourself. This is my season. Demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, share our brethren. God bless you.